Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
That was a blessing. That was a good word. Now, David is going to come, our last word for this morning, and then I'm going to come back and lead a few prayers. But David, you've got a microphone. David's going to address for us, just in closing out these segments, the question of the uniqueness of our apostolic call, how compelling that is, how important it is. Anyway, David, you're the right guy for the job.
We're doing a lot of exciting things as a church, and we are a unique congregation. Now, everyone is unique in their own way of being unique, but we're not unique in the normal way that people are unique. You know what I mean? Everyone's an individual. We're not unique in that we're just another church. We are a uniquely different church. And in 1997, the Lord appeared to my father in person and told him to take an apostolic message to the nations, to remain the leader of the church, and to keep looking into the eyes of Jesus. That was what he said. So Dad was given this apostolic commission or job, task. But the thing was that in the years after that, as you know, Dad was understanding what that meant, it became clear that that was something we were all called to do with him. It wasn't a case of, John has got this job from God, and, you know, as long as we're all happy that he goes and does it. It wasn't a situation where we just had to be happy that he went and did it. It was a situation where the Lord was calling us to do it with him, or to use Bible language, to partner with him, in that it's our equal responsibility. And there's examples of this type of thing in the Bible. It's because often when we think of famous men of God or stories in the Bible, we look at the guy that did the thing and we tend to not look at the situation that he's involved in. Like Jesus, for example, biggest hero in the Bible, and we think that Jesus came from heaven to save men and women. He had this commission to do from God. But what does Jesus do when he gets here? He rounds up, to start with, 12 people to help do it with him. And then with those 12, he ends up with a whole group of several hundred people. And then when he leaves, on one hand, Jesus has done his job. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He had done something, but on the other hand, he hadn't done it yet. He said to all of his disciples that were left behind, "Go into all the world and do these things that I'm..." So Jesus had done it, yes, but he's actually still doing it with a whole group of people that are called to do it with him, us. This is kind of God's way. He does use a person, but he always uses that person with other people. So God will call an apostle, like the apostle Paul, for example. Now, do you have the impression that Paul and maybe one or two other guys like Luke just trotted off all around the world working on their own to fulfill the commission of God? Or was Paul supported by a church? What do you think? Did Paul have a church that was of one heart and mind with him that supported him? As it turned out, he did. The church of Philippi was what the Bible tells us was a church in partnership with Paul from the very first day. If you read the book of Philippians chapter 1, and it's interesting because the Philippians is the only church that Paul received money from. The Corinthians tried to give him money and he didn't want it. The Thessalonians tried to give him money and he wouldn't want it. But the Philippians gave him money and he accepted it. And in the book of Philippians, he says in chapter 1 that you have partnered with me from the first day of the gospel. There's something very special that the Philippian church and Paul had together. There was a one-heart relationship. I thought this morning, because I feel like we can learn a few things for us. We're in a similar position. God's called an apostle, but God's also called us as a church to be in this mission with the apostle. So I thought we'll read a few verses from Philippians and just see what Paul was actually saying here. So let's read Philippians 1, verses 3 to 8 first. Paul says, I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. If you have read the book of Acts, you'll remember that Paul wasn't even going to Philippi. He was going a different direction, but he had a dream. And in that dream, a man appeared, a man of Macedonia, and said, come and preach the gospel to us. So Paul woke up the next morning knowing that he had to go to Macedonia. Philippi is the capital of Macedonia and the first church that he went to after receiving this dream. You can read in the book of Acts that Paul goes down to the riverbank. You turn up to a brand new city and you don't know anyone and you don't know what to do. And he goes down to the riverbank and there's Lydia and he leads her to the Lord. Very first day in Philippi. So from the very first day of the gospel, there's something very special happening in Philippi. Let's read a bit more. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Can I testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus? Paul and this church were very, very close. And as you read the book of Philippians, he keeps saying things about, you know, the things he's trying to tell them about God or the gospel, but then he keeps coming back and having these very personal comments all the way through the book. There's a whole bunch of them. In chapter 2, verses 25 to 30, because he's in jail right now, and the Philippians have sent someone, Epaphroditus, to help him in jail. And he says, I think it is necessary to send back to you, Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. He longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me, to spare me sorrow on sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So here's a church that's really wanting to help, but Paul's a long way away and they're in jail. So they send someone with money, by the way, to help him. And then Paul is so concerned that he sends him back. There's a very close heart relationship going on here and they're working together. We'll read a few more verses in chapter 4, verses 15 to 19. As you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. See, it wasn't just giving, it was also receiving, but only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. And I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. That's a famous verse that we all quote, you know, God will supply your needs. But it was in the context of a church that was partnering with Paul in the gospel and giving him gifts. So it's a promise in context for people who really have a heart for the Lord and for the gospel. This Philippian church, you know, they weren't close to Paul. Paul was in jail and they were a long way away, but they were partners with him in their heart. They were called to the same thing that Paul was called to, which was partners in the gospel. They were prayerful. They were giving money, so they were in one heart with Paul, they were financially supporting it, and they were prayerfully supporting. They even sent people, Epaphroditus, to help. And I thought that this is an example of what we've been called to. it's not an exact example, but my father was called to apostolic mission. We have been called along with him. Just like the 12 disciples were called by Jesus, just like Philippi was called along with Paul, there's always people called along with a leader. We are the people. But we're normal Christians as well. So in your normal daily life, you'll still want to share the gospel with your neighbours. You'll still want to pray for the salvation of those around you. You'll still want to be kind and compassionate and give to the poor. You'll still do normal Christian things. That's what we do as Christians. But as well as being normal Christians, we're also not normal Christians. We're also unique Christians because God's given us something else to do as well. He's given us this special mission to support, to take the apostolic message to the nations. This is a message of relationships in the body of Christ. It's a message about the way the church should love one another and serve one another. It's a message about apostles and their place in the body of Christ. It's a message about city and how churches, there's only one church in one city. That's something we don't really see in the world. There's a whole bunch of elements to this message, and God's called us to support John, my dad, in making sure this message is proclaimed. We need to proclaim it in our own city, especially to pray for it in our own city. And we're seeing changes with the pastors' meeting. We're seeing some really good things happen. And we need a whole church to be praying and supporting the things that God's doing with that. We can't just look at our own church and say, well, we want to be successful. We want to have good worship. We want to have happy cell group and all that. Those are things every congregation should have. We want those things, but we shouldn't just selfishly only think of those things. We have a thing outside of us, beyond us, to which we should give ourselves. Love is something you do for others, and we are to love the body of Christ in our city. We are to serve other Christians. We are to serve other churches in other places. As we get these calls to go travel to another nation, we're loving those people when we go. Many times we don't get paid for that. Sometimes there's an offering. Sometimes it covers the ticket. But many times we go and we give and we serve. These are all elements of the apostolic mission that we are called to. There's some young people in the church that weren't even born when my father got that call. In all those early years when these things were well explained in the church, there were people that here now that weren't here then. And you don't know those things. You've heard it referred to with this apostolic message. You don't know it as well as you should. You need to take the time to learn the details of this apostolic message. We have a website with resources and books. Take the time to familiarize yourself with what you're supposed to help, support, and promote. So we are called to love one another. That's also a part of it. The more that we love one another, the more an example that is to others of what the power is in this apostolic message. And we're called to serve one another, but the one another, it turns out, is also the other Christians in our city. It's also other people that God's called us to serve. There's six things I've written down here that we are to do. There's probably more, but there's five things that I thought of. We're called to pray. We're called to pray for this apostolic message to spread rapidly and be influential, including in Rockhampton. We're called to know what that message is. So if you don't know what that is, if you were too young at the time or weren't born or you were at another church at that time or weren't saved yet, and you haven't learned what that message is, you need to learn it. Number three, we're called to go. Now, some will go more than others. Some will go regularly, like my dad and like Mr. Hood. Some people will go occasionally, like myself. But we're all called to go. So you may be one of those people that's got to you have to consider your part in that going, even if it's occasional. Number four, we're called to support. So that means even if you're not going, maybe contributing to those who go, praying for those who go, praying for the places to where people go, that they will be opened up to the message. And number five, we are called to love. We're called to love one another. We are called to love the other believers in our city. We're called to work towards one heart and one mind amongst God's people. We're called to pray, to know the message, to go, to support, and to love. we're called to do all of these things? Do you think you're up to the task? Are you up to the challenge? Well, the truth is we always feel like we want to be up to the challenge, but we need God's help. We can't really do what God's called us to do without Him helping us to do what He's called us to do. We need God's grace, like we do for everything. You can't lead a soul to Christ without God's help. You can't run a cell group without God's help. You also can't take an apostolic message to the nations without God's help. So let us start asking Him for His help, that we might do what He's called us to do.